Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Mark Zielinski, Jeremy Duval, and Rob Phaneuf as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
This is day two of the U.S. Masters. We're here with Dan Miner. We came in all the way from Vancouver just to hang out with me. I appreciate
That's right.
And we're joined by the, I don't know, what's the adjective we should use?
Beautiful.
Beautiful?
Beautiful.
Ronnie.
The
needs
sultry.
No introduction, I don't think.
The sultry Ronnie Ratton.
Sultry. I like sultry.
We just talked on a live stream on Tabletop Media. This is a great pageantry for the game of Kings of War. 64 of the best players.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see. And one of the things we were really keen when I said, look, I want to start getting Adepticon going, is that it didn't in any way damage the Masters. Is that we're talking about making it two majors.
Right.
One of which is the best of the best. These are the 64 players that have played in all the regions. You've got to have played three tournaments to get here. There's good players that aren't here because they haven't done three. And I love that. It's like the you know, Augusta Masters at golf.
Exactly.
It's the best
US
players.
Open,
and then the Adepticon's a US Open. Anyone could turn up and play.
Yeah.
And it's a real kind of, it'd be great if they're... So we were very keen. One didn't become less than the other. Actually, it's about promoting them up, so there's two. And what this is about is those people that play all year, make it out to three tournaments, you can't get here, you've not been here, you're playing the best of the best, every game, you make a mistake, that's it, you're halfway down the rankings.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to get rolled. So, wonderful to see. Wonderful to see that people enjoy the game so much. There's no raised voices, there's no rules problems. People are just getting on with it, enjoying it, playing. So, yeah, wonderful to see, a great experience.
This is the third year we've had Kings of War US Masters, 64 players every year. Dan, do you have a tournament you've ever been to where there's no drops? Day of the event? Or day before?
Yeah, no.
That never happens. No. And this 3 years in a row, no drops.
Well, but this is commitment, right?
Yeah,
because
commitment,
people end up knowing whether or not they got their spot kind of typically around the beginning of December, and it's like the end of February now, right?
So
that's several months to kind of make accommodations with your work, with your spouses, with flights, with accommodations to make sure that you get here. And it's quite a commitment, right? You had to do a crazy amount of commitment just to even qualify.
Well, that's why we just show up. We don't qualify. We just show up.
Right?
Just crash the party.
I think it's a good...
I think the same again here,
just for the hanging around.
That's right.
So I think
play
games that don't qualify. They want to come hang around. They want to have some beers. They want to watch the games being played. You know, it's high quality play. And I think, like you said, commitment to get here means that if you do get a place, you're going to turn.
So I do want to comment that when you're talking about the no arguments, I think the reason why, like, coming from a background of many different war games is because
you
of
can
how
say
cleanly...
Their name. You can say their name.
No, any of them, right? They're all there. That's how cleanly written the rule set is. There's very little for interpretation, and what is there, actually, the rules committee is quite good at clarifying in the FAQ.
I would say that most of the rules questions aren't rules questions there. Is this a flanker or
this
a
is
front?
So close. We can't decide if this
right.
is a flanker
this is just
or
too hard
rear.
To tell.
Yeah. So let's get a second, third party in here to just check
and if
it out.
Not,
and that's
just
it.
Roll the dice. You know,
that's exactly right.
And he goes. So nice. Wonderful to see. And,
so Ronnie, why should a new player in miniature wargaming play Kings of War?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Firstly, it's a pageantry. It's a spectacle. And what's lovely to see here at this Masters is that there's more and more Mantic armies coming through. They're building them on unit bases. So they're not converted 20mm, 25mm glued down. The dire armor of each individual base is part of the story and part of the theme of the army.
Exactly.
We're looking at that Trident Realms army.
Yes.
Jeff's doing one with this water effect amongst his water elementals.
Yeah,
We've got this beautiful undead water themed army over there.
Yeah.
Firstly, there's spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I always loved about fantasy above sci-fi for myself was the colours, was the vision, was the mass number of soldiers.
Yes.
You know, the hundreds and hundreds of soldiers. So that was... That was part of it. And I think the second thing is, we were just talking about it, it's a very clean game.
Right.
It's rare that you can have a 200-figure battle that you set up, play, no arguments, roll the dice, decisive victor in 2 hours.
Yeah, totally.
I wonder if... was Mantic the only game that could pull this out? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much baggage for the bigger companies. Could they take that risk of making a clean rule set? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we prided ourselves on it. I think you know, we're working hard with all of our games. Things like Dead Zone is doing very, very well. You know, people love nice small skirmish game.
Yeah.
But instead of it being on a 6x4, it's on a 2x2x2.
Yeah, you know,
right. Genuinely is a 3D game.
It's literally a coffee table game at that point. Yeah,
and very few games play in the vertical axis.
Right.
They almost always play flat.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to challenge how things are done,
right,
but in doing so, keep them really clean, really smooth. And I think that takes some writing, because actually you have to write it, and then you have to go back and take 3/4 of the words out.
Right. Well, and
to say, make you say what you wanted to say.
And also in playtesting, you've got to, at that point, get that nice balance point between complexity and simplicity too, right?
Yeah.
And decide, you know, this is superfluous. This doesn't need to be here. So let's just cut that out.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure that game is approachable.
Correct. And I think that's one of the big things. You know, why would you say, why start? Because it's easy. You know, kind of easy on the wallet, but also easy on the time. Get it sprayed up.
Yeah, and what I so much appreciate about your games is that they are simple and easy to learn, but there's enough depth there that it's not just a dice rolling exercise either. And I really appreciate that about the game.
I think dice rolling, you know, we're very conscious that where's the flanking, where's the maneuver, which
is
what
exactly.
Kings of War's about. Vanguard, which is all about the taking an objective. You know, we often say play the defender, then play the attacker.
Yeah.
And see how you do over two games, because it'll be an hour. But it's really so we don't like the dice rolling, and we don't like army list pumping, where, you know, before you even set up, you can look.
We've said that all along. This is not a list builder game, right? Yeah. Lists are good; they're important, but a bad list can be a good list if you play it right.
Yeah. And to try and keep it around that, you've got to use it.
There's still skew. It's all about minimizing skew. So.
And there's also scenarios where you take a certain type of army and you get the wrong scenario against the wrong opponent.
Right.
It's going to hurt.
Well, and we're seeing that right now. Yeah. Right? Top table. I mean, skew list. Is the guy playing for a draw?
Is that the guy that's pulled his whole army into
the corner?
Yeah. Yes. I pointed that one out to you.
I'm just
so
it,
he's playing for the draw, which is,
but he's playing it perfectly. Actually.
So now what he's done is he knows the game.
Yeah.
He knows he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He knows he's not going to. And he's built an army that in most situations will do well.
Yeah.
But in certain situations, in certain scenarios,
he's
going to be in real trouble. He's come up against one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you go maxing that way, it does mean that you're going to be in trouble the other way.
But as a quality player, he's trying to mitigate some of those problems, actually.
And he knows he's going to come and says, okay, I know that if I come up against that army in this scenario, that's what I've got to do.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm going to get hurt.
So do you like where the game's at currently?
Yeah, I think it's a really good place. I think the Clash of Kings book each year is a great way of freshening it up, trying out new things, you know, moving the story on a little bit. And tinkering with it and just not breaking it, but pushing out certain bits.
Where do you want to see it grow? It sounds like you've got some ideas.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be more and more. I think going into the next size up monster, that giant is a big, big kit.
Colossal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's a colossal giant. And I think that our dragon is quite big. And I've seen a beautiful one paid by Jeff here.
Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly there's a couple of the bigger kits here that are starting to unlock what I call the kind of third scale. So you've got your 28 mil figures, 30 mil figs. You've then got your kind of trolls, war machines, you know, rock lobbers, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we're just unlocking that third thing where you're looking at this 18 centimeter giant, dragons, you know, 75 mil base size. Moving things all up to another scale again with the resin, we can do that. The ice giants coming, the shadow hulks coming. So, getting very excited about the
Night Stalker
crawlers.
Oh, I kickstarted the crap out of those Night Stalkers. I've got, I think, 6 starter kits, 7 starter kits of them, and I'm so excited. And once the shadow hulk comes out, sign me right up. The Night Terror, the Terror. As well too.
Yeah, fantastic. It looks absolutely lovely. So there's a lot of exciting things. We're going to be looking at making some more plastics towards the end of the year. I think Northern Alliance have really come from nowhere. When they first suggested it in the Vanguard, I thought it was a bit of a weak concept. You know, I thought, okay, you're kind of pseudo Viking-esque.
I tell you though, you look at the execution, they're gorgeous. I can't wait to see them be fleshed out as an army.
Yeah, they've absolutely smashed it. And I think they've turned me around. And I like the idea of elves and dwarves and humans
all
living outside, you know, in their kind of slightly hippie community where they're not defined by their race. Defined by their beliefs system.
Right.
And then you've got all of this whole ice theme going on, which I think they've really, really carried it off well. So I think the Northern Alliance is going to become a big part of the story. And we've got some great background ideas coming, teasing up about what they're up there for. And they're still supporting one of the old gods. I think it's growing nicely. I think, you know, this summer we just want to keep recruiting, keep getting new people in. That's absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Vanguard will do a lot of that.
Yeah, because I hope it'd be a gateway game too, actually. Yeah, it's definitely more approachable than buying a whole army worth of stuff.
Well, even you buy it, you take it home, and then you think, oh, crumbs, I'm going to glue all this together. I'm just, you know, even I have not still finished my dwarf army after 10 years. But the only way I even got it close was by getting a unit base, putting the cork on, putting the figures on, spraying it black, and then painting what I can see. And finally, I've got, you know, 3/4 of the way through an army. But if I start painting them individually, it just takes forever. I think, but that's someone who's been doing it a long time. And I think, so having somewhere where Vanguard, where you can get 10 figures and be playing within a week, is a great way for those people to be going, I'm thinking about Kings of War, but I'm intimidated by the amount of time it's going to take. So plan, Vanguard comes along, gets lots and lots of people coming in, gets lots of support, all those that are waiting on the edge jump in there, and then they start, I'm building my Basileans, I'm building my Northern Alliance, I'm building my Abyssals. Oh, now I'll do a regiment, now I'll do a couple of the big figures, I've already got my commanders, and suddenly you're halfway to an army. And then it's downhill from there.
Maybe he needs to make injection molded diorama bases with like rocks and stuff. What do you think?
We looked at doing a load of bases for you know, like through a Kickstarter, just doing a load like with the terrain crate stuff. Mali, it's been done, and Mali, you need to get an awful lot of them quite quickly. Whatever you go with, people want something else.
That's probably one area they want to personalize.
So that was my, like, as a business standpoint, because I think
you laser first. Cutting. And
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
Like that.
I would actually be. Because there's such a vast variety of different bases you would have to accommodate in a variety of themes, because no one person's going to want the same theme.
Right.
And I think it's still more for the people who do the pads and the rollers. I think that's still probably the better place for the diorama bases. I actually, as much as I would love to see, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know if from the injection mold kind of standpoint, with how expensive they are to do, whether that's actually a viable thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it took us a while to get the second half of the plastic regiment bases out in all different sizes. Now you're pretty much covered there. It's only unusual sizes that you can't get. So, but you know, it's I think people buy those, they buy the figures, and then they mash the two together.
Yeah.
So looking at the history of Kings of War, obviously it started off as, hey, we just want you to play with whatever you got, come to the table. We have a rule set that's kind of figure agnostic. We've transitioned away from that, right? So we're moving into, hey, here's a lot of cool armies for Mantic, you know, whether it's dwarves or undead. So what's the next evolution?
It's just going to keep going. I mean, I think the big thing is that the story is now really taking shape after the Eye of the Abyss a couple of years ago. The Abyss,
or even the Edge of the Abyss.
I make the words up.
Night crawlers, night stalkers. I get it.
Good job throwing them under the bus there. Hey, I know the comments would have said all, jumped right all over it.
Yeah, you've got me. Mea culpa. So I think the narrative is coming along. You know, I think the fact that we set Vanguard not in some distant village that have been hit by a comet.
Right.
You know, no, it's based around the Kings of War. It's the battles. It's the skirmishes before the battles.
How you threw that out there. Because I wonder what game you're talking about there in some village.
There's a few, you know, some of there in Winter Wilds.
That was awesome.
Chile. You know, that'd be derivative. And I think one of the things we've not done, our dwarves didn't look like anyone else's dwarves.
Or your elves or whatever.
So we've always had the view that we're slowly building up a believable, credible, complete fantasy world. And you've got Winged Hussar now knocking novels out.
Yeah.
We've got the summer campaigns leading the narrative on, so people are influencing absolutely the storyline. We've got new armies and regiments coming
there's
out.
There's some other
constantly.
Books actually also coming out too that are being written right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Because I've heard some people kind of talking that they're doing some.
Yeah, three or four a year.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
You know, Winged Hussar are banging them out. We've got a big story arc that we're going to reveal over the next two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the Shining and the Wicked Ones.
Nice.
Coming back, and so all of this thing is just building up nicely into into its own place. And I, like with any IP, you know, I think Warhammer 25 years ago was a kind of mashup of mostly Middle Earth with a little bit of D&D.
Definitely, yes.
But then
GW
took it on and made up
exactly.
their own world.
And that's what you guys are doing now.
And that's what we're doing. And we've just kind of come back, and I think it's useful to have the elves, dwarfs, orcs, goblins stepping off point.
Yeah,
because I think it gives people an easy in.
Right.
They know what that is. I know what an orc is. It's been in computer
totally.
Games. It's been in war games.
Yep.
You get that trope, but then slowly the characters that are in there, the leaders, the more beast-launching goblin.
Yeah,
mortar,
that's an amazing model.
Yeah, it's all about starting to create your own flavor and what your technology does and how your magic influences it. And I think that draws more.
Well, as you expand that out, it allows people to invest their time and their energy into it. And once you're invested, you own it.
Yeah.
Then the next step is obviously, well, let's buy a Mantic army because it's here.
Yeah. Exactly. And as our stuff becomes more and more, the only one that's really available in the retail store in packs of 20, in packs of 40.
Right. Yeah.
If you need zombies, you need a horde of them. You're going to want a ton of them on your gaming table. You buy the Mantic zombies because that's what
totally.
You do. You buy the Mantic skeletons because you need 40 of them to build a horde. So. So yeah, it's starting to take off. So it's exciting. I think it's very exciting, and the future is, touch wood, looking bright.
So if you couldn't play dwarves, what army would you play?
Well,
the dwarves,
bits of dwarves.
What a cop out!
Oh, yeah. Totally.
What a cop!
So, I love it.
Anything's not too hard as long as I can stand at the back and shoot you, and not have to worry about using magic. It's too complicated for me.
So obviously, fleshing out Northern Alliance is probably in the cards and focus.
In the cards, absolutely.
About fleshing out other unit entries that actually don't have something available?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're working hard to do that. Interestingly, it's best when you kind of go and revisit an army and give it three or four things.
Definitely, yeah.
And so we were, and we missed it a little bit with the dwarves in January because Vanguard kind of came out so quick.
Yeah.
We had given them some stuff. What I'm trying to do is when we do a Vanguard army, also do some Kings of War stuff for them.
Okay, right. That's a cool
idea. So that we focus on that army, we talk about it, we talk about some of the heroes and characters and fighting style. You can have a whole week on the blog. People go, I've always fancied doing a Trident Realms, a Goblin, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes just an occasional release by itself gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you can focus on the whole thing, you bring that army back up to the fore. And have a good go at it. So I think we've got, I think Matt's working now on all of the plastics for next year as well.
Right.
So we are going to be doing three plastic sets a year.
Yeah.
To keep adding those regiments and those units.
But you got to fill in, right? You got to fill in the holes you got.
Yeah. Bissell Dwarves don't have a core plastic set.
I mean, elves don't have the Phoenix yet. You're buying it from everybody else.
Dracons are there. So
Dracons, that's something we've seen some sketches before.
Yeah, I think everyone goes crazy for
those.
I
don't know if I've actually seen those.
Yeah, they're very fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, they're always good. And then we've got some fun things as well. So we're working on a top secret project, which obviously I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's set in the Kings of War universe, which will be
good.
Which will be going to be talked about in the middle of the year.
That's
so
awesome.
What's Mantic doing well with Kings of War? What are the strengths?
Well, I think it's very fresh. I think I think we've now got that rhythm right with the Clash of Kings book.
Right.
You know, last year it was January.
Yeah, it kind of missed.
It just didn't hit right. Yep. Yeah. Whereas now this year it was in December. Everyone knew it was coming in December. You buy the book, and as soon as the first game of the year starts, they're on Clash of Kings 2019.
Did it meet your expectations for sales? I mean,
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, because I mean,
percentage wise,
we pump the crap out of that thing, and we all need it.
Percentage wise, is Kings of War / Vanguard actually in your business right now?
So, interestingly, the three things that are selling through game systems is Kings of War, Vanguard, and probably.
And the Dead Zone.
Walking Dead and then Dead Zone.
Yes.
But we got Hellboy coming, so.
Hellboy's going to be. Now, actually, Hellboy's a board game.
Yeah.
And that's okay, though.
It's great. It's absolutely fantastic.
It is great, but it's one of those things that once it's fired out, it The residual sales after that is pretty small.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of... We've got one of the things wasn't done in the Kickstarter, which is the Wild Hunt game, which is the Wild Hunt expansion, which is the one that's kind of being covered in the movie.
Okay, yeah.
So we
kind
of stay clear to that when we did the Kickstarter. So that's going to come out. I think what it does is it raises the profile of Mantic Hellboy. People see what a good job we did with it, how much we loved it. We've also done that with Walking Dead, so we've done it with two of the kind of premium... independent comic IPs that are out there. And we haven't done, I don't think we've done well with those. I think we've smashed out the park.
The Walking Dead. I'm glad that you actually went to the comic version of it rather than the actual TV show. Because for me, the comic is just so much, got so much more depth involved.
And it's beautiful written. It's going to keep going. We've got the Whisperers coming and they're doing their way. You know, we've got that coming this year as a, we've kind of, because we've played through the narrative, expansion 1-3-4, most of those stories were about the group surviving external situations against the walkers. Woodbury was obviously the first where it was almost player versus player. And the hunters. Then actually it was Negan's lot. Then you know, in Ezekiel, the kingdom were on their side, Hilltop was on their side versus Negan. You've then got the Whisperers, which is player versus player. You've then got New World Order, which I guess at some point might be player versus player. So it became a war game and with lots of factions and there's very few of those. So this summer we're having a book that's going to just tweak the rules a little bit to say, if you want to play hardcore list building combo sections of a war game of The Walking Dead, is where you go.
You've totally piqued my interest.
And you'll play things like, okay, you're going to have alignment. So Negan's baddie. You know, the governor's a baddie. Rick's a goodie.
Totally,
the goodie can ally with mini goodie factions.
Okay.
The baddies can ally with baddie factions. So the baddies could take the prison group.
Oh, interesting.
And the prisoners will have a special fighting style, like sneaking around the back and you know, jabbing you with a knife. The hunters will have a baddie style. So suddenly you're going to get these kind of, you're going to probably play on a 20 by 40. The walkers, what we've done is, the big difference with them is that they only move once in the turn. So suddenly you send your scout out to fire a gun, to move all the walkers one way. Now I've got a clear shot. Because by this point in the comic, the walkers are not the threat. Unless you use the walkers to put a threat on the other person, if you know what
I mean. That's correct,
It's not the walkers themselves. It's the way that the players move the walkers.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually a really neat mechanic.
So they still end up going off because you suddenly you've got a horde over here. But I'm shooting a machine gun at you, so I'm going to put some damage. So it's really going to be interesting. It's a little bit about balance, but it's a lot about just taking the walkers out from being so influential to being one of the facets of a game.
That's cool.
One of the areas that's growing a little bit too is historicals. What's the thought process on, you have a historical supplement, we're going to see another one down the road maybe?
I mean, I think we're very pleased with it. We got it out there. I think it was right at the time when, you know, kind of Kings of War was the only mass battle game in town, you know, the fantasy battle game period. It's one of those, at some point we'll have the second edition it with a whole load of new armies and new factions and kind of bring something out or bring a supplement out for it. There's a few people working on things. There's an American Civil War one kind of kicking around. There's one other one, I'm trying to wrap my memory, that's been written. That's
English Civil War maybe?
Yeah. Who'd play that? probably is English Civil War.
I mean, that's the beauty of Kings of War, right? The rule set is really time clean, period agnostic, right? You can move it to whatever.
I think anything with gunpowder. The flintlock period. It works quite well. It works very well. And it's clean. And we unapologetically with historical said, look, if you want a seriously hardcore, accurate historical rule set,
this isn't it.
I think that's literally line one, page one.
It's a simulation game. It does that very, very well, but it's definitely not. It's a simulation.
If you want to build a themed Roman army, you'll know how to build it. You'll know what units for. Off you go. But what we've done is given you a list of all the Romans that ran for 400 years. Pick through it. If you want to chuck a load of Romans on a table and what would happen if the Romans fought against the whatever it was they never fought against, you can play it. You know, you can have a go and it's going to be good fun and you'll be played in 2 hours and it's not an intellectually...
So there's hope for the historical armies down the road.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They're not being cast to the wayside. That's good.
No. I think we enjoyed writing the book. It's a labor of love for the kind of historical bent rules committee guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we can.
So there is a historical list here today.
Did you see John? I'm sure you saw John Green's.
Spartans.
Well, so it depends on which event you see it at, because it's the Spartans models.
Yeah.
Yes, but he's played them as Varangar.
He's playing them as Varangar. This the Romans today, though.
Yes, they are Romans today.
Yeah, the Romans.
Yeah, he's running them as Romans with the full contu and everything. So he's the first game he played, he ended up running into Abyssal Dwarf player, and the Abyssal Dwarf player's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, all my artillery is useless. So actually that was, but because it's a very Falcon heavy list, it's extremely matchup-y. It's skewy.
Right. What about the rest of the Uncharted Empire armies? You know, obviously we talked about Brotherhood. You're giving them your own spin. I'm sure Rodeo will get its own spin. So there's other ones in there that we haven't really talked about.
Yeah, I think Radkin is one of the big challenges for us, because I think there is a great narrative in there. I think it's become a fantasy trope, and we could take it in our own direction. But I think we've got to be very clear about what that direction is. You know, it's a... and it's just taken a while. I mean, we're playing with some concepts, you know, kind of junkers, you know, where they're just building up stuff. And
so I love the fact that all the new units you added in COC 19 are your vermin models. I think that's fantastic. I can't wait to buy some to add in.
It's almost like he has a plan to have you buy more magic stuff.
From a business standpoint, I completely understand that. It's actually a really great idea. I really applaud that idea. And I'm really hoping all you Ratkin listeners go out and buy some of these models. If you want your Ratkin to get more love, that's totally the way.
Well, I forget you're a Ratkin player.
Yeah, I am a massive Ratkin player.
Yeah. No, and it is just that. That's why we could dip our toe a little bit. That's what the Clash of Kings allows us to do. Yeah. Stick the toe without
having to take a whole bunch of production line at it that could potentially fail. I think that was a phenomenal thing. Yeah. The only thing criticism I might have is maybe it would have been nice to have some bits to.
I don't remember, and it was definitely a mistake, but when we did Warpath, we kind of tried to rework some of our fantasy tools at the time, and it was just, it wasn't right. It wasn't to the quality that we set ourselves up.
Yeah.
And so we've been nervous about doing that, you know, repurposing work.
Yeah.
But actually having opened it up, and also I think Rob had been playing around with his vermin and put the orc arms on it. They fitted really well.
Yeah.
You know, they were exactly the right size and scale to get the shields in. But so suddenly, as soon as we know that people are amenable to that and the models are going to work and not clash, actually to get a nice bag of resin bits or some metal bits to go with it and really give you some weapon options. And we can do that with salamanders. And I was talking about with people last night. There's a lot of conversation about, you know, where do you want to go with this? And I said, it's, of course, We love doing conversions because the big investment for us is a plastic tool.
Yes, exactly. Where the resin stuff is actually relatively easy to do.
Correct. A little bit more expensive, makes the kit a bit more expensive, but in actual fact, if we can go there and complete our armor unit choices, which we were talking about earlier, using resin on head slots, which I think adds a lot more character. Right. You know, when we did one of the things I was talking about when we didn't get with the dwarfs with Vanguard, was I just wanted, having just glued together, you know, 60 or 80 of our plastic dwarfs, I wanted a sprue with five new heads, five new weapons.
Yeah.
Some, just because you just want to keep your variety changing. You know, when you're growing regiment after regiment, a few different heads, a few different helmets, really just keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it didn't end up getting made in time. It will be there. It's tucked away. Type of thing will just, you know, lob into the mega army set. I think you know, Ratkin has gone from something I was going, no, it's been done, I can't see our story for it, it's an Uncharted Empire, to slowly go, no, I think we can take this on, actually. You know,
exciting for me to hear.
Yeah, the slaves of the Abyssal Dwarfs that have started to break out, and because they breed quickly, suddenly colonies start popping up. Okay, where's the story with them? They're junkers. Okay, that could be cool. And I think suddenly they can start taking on a narrative of picking up equipment and war. Yeah, that'd be good fun.
Awesome.
Where do you see it going, Kings of War? I mean, it's
all the way to the top, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good, because I think because we decided early on, firstly, everything's in our 30mm scale and everything's in that IP.
Yeah.
Every game we do, so Dungeon Saga.
Right, you know, all cross-compatible.
Yeah, cross-compatible. Suddenly the minis are selling, people are buying. So it just keeps growing and developing, and as time goes by, as well as now, as you become, hobbies just take a long time. They're a big commitment.
Yes, they are.
You've got to know you can pick up a game. You've got to know it's going to be there in a year's time.
Yes.
And over the last few years, we've seen a lot of, you know, even medium and big size companies falling away or getting distracted.
Yep, definitely.
And I think people are now understanding that Mantic are here. They're here to stay. We're committed to this IP. Just as we're committed to our Warpath IP. Mm-hmm. It takes longer, of course, as up against the biggest of the biggest on that one. That's fine. We know it's going to take years. But actually, the big difference is there's fewer good fantasy IPs. It's hard to get a fantasy IP away. And if you think about movies and TV shows, okay, Game of Thrones.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
But if I say, start naming sci-fi IPs that you like.
Tons.
We'll be at 20 seconds. Not only the Star Wars, the Star Trek, but then Fifth Element. There's Doctor Who. There's millions of them.
Oh, when are you coming up with a Doctor Who game?
No, Warlord and...
Oh, Warlord's already got that.
Gale Force 9 have got that. I think that's too messy. If it's not clean, we're not doing it.
I hear you. Right. No, totally. You want it free and clear.
We want it free and clear. And we've been offered things that have just gone, no, it's messy.
Just from a business standpoint, that's you don't
want
to...
And I don't want... Yeah. We want to do it properly right from the get-go.
Yeah.
There's a little bit, even with The Walking Dead, because of the AMC stuff.
Yes.
They were far more board gamey. Mm-hmm. They weren't talking to the war games crowd.
Yeah.
And I think the fact is, we did nearly double what they did on the Kickstarter. That when the comic does double, it tells you something about the quality.
Well, the fans are different too, right?
Yeah.
The comic fans are insane.
Yeah.
Well, let me just mention, we are joined by the infamous Kyle from Mastercrafted.
How's it going, everybody?
Wonderful. Did you have a good night last night?
I had a fantastic night.
You just get in?
No,
you've been here?
Well, I just got here this morning.
Okay.
We had some business we had to take care of this morning.
Ronnie, obviously, Mantic has a relationship with the customers, and we're always asking you, we want this, we want this. What do you want to tell the... What do you want from the customer? What do you want from the community? What does Mantic
just
need from us?
The two things that are important to us is word of mouth, telling people about what we're up to and that you are proud of it, because it's a hard nut to crack. Everybody is playing certain games that aren't ours. And when you turn up as a Mantic fanatic in the corner of the room and say, no, try this, mate. No, get lost. We're not going to do it. That word of mouth is so important. And just once people try, suddenly their eyes open to there's a whole different world out there.
Yeah.
There isn't only one flavor. And I think it's as they say, sometimes we're a bit like Dr. Pepper. What's the worst that could happen? But that word of mouth is really important to us. So people that are out there sharing the word, or pathfinders, running demos, we do feel like that's just started to happen. And then second, please buy our minis.
Right.
You do an army, that's the lifeblood, because the more minis I sell, the more I can tool, the more armies we get.
Well, you're certainly making it easier with the newer releases. That you're hitting them all out of the park now, and that certainly will help your bottom line.
And I think having the freedom, we had a painter for a while, but then he's gone off to freelance.
Yeah.
Now we're able to access Angel and different
people.
Yeah,
it's a whole different.
We're in a different place. The other thing is, I think we came out swinging against, the biggest and the best 10 years ago.
It is funny.
And we came at a pretty high level. But you know what? It's still 10 years on.
Yeah,
we're at a different level again.
Yeah,
we're three, four times on from there.
And the market's changing.
It is so interesting to see where you've come from. Because for me, when you guys first hit the market, it was alternative models to those that were cheaper right out of the box. And it was kind of in trying to get in that niche market. But you've evolved into something entirely different. And it's good to see.
Thank you.
There's two distinct flavors. The two games that are dominant right now have completely different flavors, where I'd say 10 years ago it was a lot closer.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Now it's completely different games. I mean, you're not even looking at the same kind of market.
No, so, that's right.
Right. It's so overloaded.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many games coming to the market. The difference, though, they don't have our community, which is the different part.
Yeah.
We have a pretty good network. I mean, we were talking last night as a group. There's pockets. Denver, if you're listening, please play some Kings of War. I mean, there are places that we're not.
Yeah. Denver needs a tournament.
The thing is, he needs critical mass.
Yes.
When the schism happened, there's big chunks of the U.S. converted over.
Yes.
And when you convert with your mates and the leader of the group and the leaders of the group say, come on, we're doing this, okay? Can I use my models yet? Well, that's my investment. That's where I spend my money and my time. Okay, I come over. Over time, I'll try this army. I'll add that to this army. So it comes. But you can't be a club of one. because if there's one of you saying it, you know, and we've got that in the UK. The UK is kind of split three ways.
Yeah.
There's those that went ninth.
Yeah.
There's those that went actually four ways. Age of Sigma.
Yeah.
There was few of those really. There was Kings of War, and largely it was Kings of War, Ninth Age, two splits, and then the people that left.
Yeah.
Doing something else. A lot of people just went and they
played board games or doing something
just
else.
Just moved on in every way.
Yep.
Now then the AOS stuff kind of has grown because it's more of a skirmish game and they've gone into that other space. But the ones that like rank and flank, and if you're 30 years old plus and you're playing 8th edition, you like rank and flank fantasy.
Right.
That's the flavour of the hobby you like. That's what I like.
Yeah.
You know, I chose not to play historicals because I'd rather have dwarves than I'd have
Napoleonics.
And dragons. Yes.
Yeah.
I like Napoleonics. I've been to the Battle of Waterloo a couple of times. But if I'm going to play a game, I want dwarves and I want cannons and I want steel behemoths and I want a little bit of magic.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to do is sit down and have somebody basically critique the fact that my color of green is not quite right.
Or the battle ended this way and this is the outcome of the game before it even started.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a good question, though. You know, obviously, we need another generation to play to keep this game going. We're all getting older. I mean, we're all getting older. How is Kings of War set up to hand off to that next generation?
I think that's
through your kids.
I think that's the Vanguard. That's Dungeon Saga.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is
when
you go to your club and you'll go, do you want to do Kings of War? I do, but...
Yeah.
I need a lot of things. Right, come on, get the Vanguard book out. Let's get a faction each. Let's get going. And that's the key.
Terrain crate's going to help too, because you're getting a lot of the role players that are kind of looking at that stuff, and then they're maybe picking up some of your models, like maybe Dungeon Saga to get models for in their actual role playing segments,
you know,
and stuff like that.
The bag of abyssals, the bag of orcs.
Yeah, exactly.
They sell like crazy. Yeah. We're out of stock of two of those at the moment because they literally, and they're starting to hit, you know, third parties are putting them on Amazon. And then people have turned up going, oh, I need a pack of goblins. Oh, there's a troll, a couple of orcs in there. Bush.
They're sitting down there, they're playing their D&D, and they're like, these models are pretty neat. And then they see somebody else playing it in a full-scale army, and they're like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's that. When I was a kid, and I've got a video somewhere, we you know, we used to set up mass battles. We used to set up, never played them, because no one had any bases. There weren't, you know, you have to move each figure, and we'd set up about 18 feet apart from each other, because, you know, we didn't actually want to fight. But the games that we would play would be kind of the role play, but with figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd use the stats out of that, because you'd have a hero going through a pile of orcs, and he'd run into a village, and that visually, we could actually, we've got enough trees, we've got enough terrain,
yeah,
we had those figures painted. So you could actually have a fully painted, and it was invariably a skirmish game.
Yeah.
It was invariably what we actually played and rolled dice at, and we'd all be the heroes because we just wanted to kill all the orcs together. Would be the skirmish angle. And I think that's how we can get into that next generation, which I think are probably already gamers or coming through the role playing the D&D and some of those areas.
The answers are hidden in what we're saying as well, too, because, you know, you mentioned community at one point. We mentioned Vanguard at one point, you mentioned Terrain Crate. So Mantic's product suite in general is going to pull in various groups. And what I see is that we have this amazing cross-pollination that happens. People that play one game eventually say, hey, what's going on in Dead Zone?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it would happen to be, you know, that cross-pollination happens between the games. And, and they see the community and they see all the same community members playing those other games. And all of a sudden, hey, I can check this out and I'm going to feel welcome and be a part of it right away.
Right. Yeah,
from
exactly.
The get-go. Young kids that buy into something if they love Hellboy and they want to get into it that way. You know, just any of those products are going to be a great stepping off point to keep growing the games.
We're excited. We're almost done with round four.
I've seen a lot of people that are losing that are really happy.
That is
well, that's
true.
That's a whole other thing we got to talk about, which is you're in a room of Kings of War players, but we played Warhammer, right?
Right.
That's not a Warhammer room.
No.
Warhammer room is like sulking. There's arguing. There's fist fights. There was... mostly because the damn rules are so damn complicated, and we had a 10-page FAQ to understand, you know, what is unmodified leadership? I don't know. It's a different atmosphere, and maybe it attracts a better player.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think we're talking about cleanliness and rules. It's really important, and I think if you want to be able to enjoy your weekend of having some beers, hanging out with your mates, and playing some games, cleanliness is essential, and it's one of the things that we work very hard to.
Adepticon, Kyle? That's next for
that's
you.
That's gonna be a blast. Yeah.
Dan, we wish you could come to Adepticon.
Maybe I should make a GoFundMe page.
This is
same
like,
deal. I don't really care about playing games. I I like watching the games just as much as playing them.
So. Who from Antic's coming? I know you'll be at Adepticon.
I'm going to be there. We did have Martin coming, Martin Thirlwell, who's been at Gen Con, but he decided to have a hip replacement operation instead.
He doesn't look that old.
No, he's very old. About 230 years old.
Okay.
So
he ages well.
Yeah, there's a picture in his attic that's not so good. Yeah, no, he's just an old knacker. He comes from Derby, and you know, they're just it's like the Detroit of the UK. So he can't be bothered to come, even though we bought him a plane ticket. We've got Rob Berman coming over. He's never done Adepticon, so he's really looking forward to it. He can't wait to be there. And it'll be Rob. Obviously, Pat's going to be there leading the line.
Yeah.
We've got Nick Williams coming over from the UK, who won Clash of Kings 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Dominic.
Who was
the highest ranking Mantic Army for 2018. Nice crowd. And then we've got Mantic Night on the Saturday night. It's going to be a blast. Because not only is Kings of War up at 64, and I think would have sold more, good we've got the places because we've taken it to capacity now. There's 25 coming for a Vanguard tournament. There's 25 for a Dead Zone tournament.
Nice.
There's another 24 for a Firefight tournament.
Right.
So all of our game systems are there. All of them are getting some real love.
Good exposure from like the 40K guys kind of wandering by and stuff like that as well too.
And just seeing them, and I think particularly something like Dead Zone, which is very, very different.
Yeah.
They can appreciate it, but it's different. Big Walking Dead contingent there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because we're all together and we're all over this side of the pond, we're doing Mantic Night, which is a great way of us having some beers. We'll do some, you know, some podcasting.
Uh-huh.
There'll be some gaming, all-night gaming. So a really good, fun way of spending time together with no matter which flavor of game you like, hanging around.
Excellent.
With like-minded.
Maybe I will have to try and make my way up there.
The incentive of the trip, that's going to do so much. The way that we put that out there, the competitive side of Kings of War and the groups that have done it are the ones that have really pushed the growth in the community in the first place.
Right.
Right? I mean, the Masters deciding to go to Kings of War as opposed to other things. So that the competitive group of players, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Putting that, the contest to win the trip to the UK with the Mantic Army, I feel like is going to help.
So you're bringing Dominic and Nick over. If they don't win, do they get to go back?
No. Absolutely.
They got to win to get a...
Yeah,
it's a one-way ticket.
Yeah, to get back. So now, fortunately, the thought of leaving Nick Williams in the USA for any length of time.
We don't want him.
No, it's just frightening.
He's too. But I will say,
I don't know. Every conversation, maybe you can just send him up to Canada, because every conversation I have with that guy, I just love it.
No, we love him.
He's a great guy.
We're just keep him. We're just joking. We like Nick. Wink, wink.
So, and you know, we're going to have one of the US guys come on back over to Clash.
Well, maybe. What happens if Dominic wins the whole thing and he's the highest?
I don't know. We'll cross that bridge if we come to it. He's not that good. No, I think there's a chance. You're gonna have to make some new rules up just to make sure they don't. You know, minus 50 points if you're English. So
awesome.
Minus 100 if you're from Yorkshire.
Final thoughts there, Dan. We're gonna get back to I guess it's almost one.
I really appreciate you making the trip over here to join with us, and it's actually been a really pleasure talking to you. Doing Dizzy Bat. So
Dizzy Bat. Yeah,
two time player now. I'm getting my veteran.
Did you play last night?
I left before Dizzy Bat.
Oh, maybe we have to break it out again tonight.
We definitely. It is breaking it out tonight. It's gonna happen.
Right, Kyle. Final thoughts.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the future, what we're doing. All of this is just, it's just such a good vibe, right?
Absolutely. Ronnie, take us out?
Yeah, no, thanks very much. I mean, it's lovely to see, it's great to see 64 people having a weekend together, enjoying their gaming, enjoying spending time together. And you know, it's a real privilege to see them playing our game. It means a lot to us, and that's why we kind of came out here to celebrate it and enjoy it and keep, you know, the Masters, along with Adepticon, along with Clash of Kings UK, as the three majors that are going on around the world. I need to get out to Australia next and get theirs going on, because they've got a great community down there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And then we'll be there.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.